Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Audrey, it is just so exciting. We have not taken Tech Vibe Radio on the road in quite a while. And
well,
I'm so excited.
We had to wait for springtime.
We did.
We had to wait for springtime. We were remanded for the winter.
That's what it was. Remanded for the winter. I love it. It's true. So yes. We are hanging out with Huntington Bank for our Tech Vibe Neighborhood Tour here at LifeX, whose mission is to help reduce the global disease burden. Fantastic work going on here and across Pittsburgh's life sciences and across Southside. We can't tell these awesome stories without Huntington Bank getting behind us and saying, hey, come over here and tell some stories. Like, okay, we'll do it. I love it. It's too
and
much
fun. And it's exciting because the stories that we've been talking about today are really tied to the future and not just being diminishing the work that's gone on in tech, but these are really life-changing solutions. And the community needs to get around it. They really need to wrap their heads around the work that these scientists are doing. And getting scientists out of their natural habitat into the commercial world isn't really easy.
No, it's
as
not.
As you well know.
Yeah.
In terms of Huntington Bank and helping, you know, small businesses.
Exactly.
And we absolutely.
We have Lindsay Kost here from Huntington Bank. And thanks for hanging out with us to get the show into high gear.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having us. We're so excited. We're very committed to spreading the word and getting these scientists, as you say, out into the commercial space and the messaging of what they're accomplishing here in the community.
They're untold stories, and we get to tell them.
Yeah, they really are untold. And, you know, a lot of these people who have actually come up through science and academics are not used to talking about what they're really working on, other than in their academic settings or through papers or through their colleagues. And now they have to sort of tell the world what they're working on. And there are many people who don't understand the kinds of problems that they're solving in academic speak. So it's so cool for us to be able to talk to them and break it down so that you and I can understand what it is that they're trying to solve. And they need money.
They do.
I mean, they really need money in all shapes and sizes. And I know Huntington Bank's been the region's preeminent in terms of Small Business Association 7A loans and helping women and underrepresented people get access to money.
Access to capital is a huge part of what we at Huntington are committed to doing here in the small business community. But the way that we can support businesses thriving and the communities thriving crosses the gamut of just the access to capital, which we are very excited about. But what we're doing here today and the opportunity to get to support the community tours and supporting the promotion of what they're doing and help your support in being their advocate and a launching pad for their messaging is so meaningful. And we're so excited to be a part of that because we view our mission at Huntington to be a supporter of our community in the sense that the businesses in the community form the community. They hire the community. They support the community. As we help the businesses thrive, we're helping our communities grow.
And what,
that's
absolutely.
Exactly what
and what better part of the community than our life sciences community, who are they're building some really tough companies here that take decades to build, but they're improving the quality of people's lives. And what good is a community if everybody's sick, if people aren't feeling well? And this industry, I think, is just aimed right at that sweet spot of like impacting people and the world in so many positive ways. And Huntington Bank gets right behind it with us to tell these stories.
Absolutely, Jonathan. We get excited to share the success of any firm that's really growing the community. But there is certainly something special when you're talking about reducing the disease burden.
Exactly.
And how that impacts future
just
generations.
Small thing like that.
That is a meaningful contribution that these firms are making, these innovators are making, and we are excited about what they're doing. And it's just fascinating to hear some of the projects that they're working on and how they can delve into these problems that you, frankly, as a layperson without experience in the life sciences, I'm not even aware that these really were meaningful problems.
Mm-hmm.
To understand that they're also digging into these solutions.
Exactly.
And innovating in this way is very thrilling.
So what are some of the things that you do in your role at Huntington that people would be not just, they'd be surprised to hear, but they need to know?
Well, I think that my role at Huntington as our SBA product specialist is to provide capital for firms that are in a really entrepreneurial space. Mm-hmm. What that means for firms like this is that I help provide debt solutions for firms that are growing or even starting up. Huntington has injected in the Pittsburgh community, we injected $35 million in capital to firms using this program last year.
That's amazing.
And these are firms that are our startup, and they discount their opportunities, and their advisors don't think that there's necessarily bank funding.
Right.
Yeah, it's often overlooked, it seems like, but you need to look at that first.
And it can be really impactful for the innovators themselves, because when you're thinking about debt funding versus, you know, equity raises, it can be a meaningful decision matrix that they need to weigh
mm-hmm.
into.
Right.
How much of the enterprise, frankly, do they get to maintain control over to help fulfill their vision
right.
to the end stage?
And that's why I always say, don't be shy. Reach out and contact Lindsay. Like, these people want to help. They want to hear from you. Don't feel like you can't navigate these channels to find out, you know, if there's a good fit as far as that is.
And so what's some of the profile of the SBA 7s? Are there any kind of generalities that maybe you can tease us with?
Well, it's exciting that you can use the program when there are limited fixed assets. So when you're talking about...
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, we can fund basically unsecured commercial loans. We have to take whatever collateral is available mm-hmm. by the program. But it means that for firms where the assets are intangible, they are IP,
exactly.
then we can still look to leverage this as a funding solution to make projects work. So we can use the funds for payroll. You can use the funds to cover the rent. And it's not just fixed, you know, bankable programs mm-hmm. like buying equipment. Certainly we can do that with the program.
Right.
But it can handle a lot of the intangible working capital.
The day-to-day operations stuff, right? Exactly.
Yes, absolutely. Now, the program is not for all startups.
Right.
It's always a question of a conversation and whether it's the right
exactly.
fit for the program.
Right.
But
right.
it can surprise some firms to think that this might be an option for
them
to consider.
No, I encourage people to do that. They should have a conversation with you and your team, because there are things that typically when you are starting a company, you don't know everything. And you think that there's one pathway just because you have that information coming at you. But what you don't understand is there's different ways to think about how you want to own your company and grow it.
Absolutely. And we aren't a one-solution institution. So the conversation may mean, hey, this isn't the right program for you,
right.
but I can still provide you some guidance that another client of ours has done. We still have some other options
right.
for you to
exactly.
consider.
That's why it's so important.
Conversation.
Have the conversation. Reach out. Go to Huntington.com and check it out and learn more. And I can't thank you guys enough for making our show tonight at LifeX possible, because we couldn't do it without you. And we have some important conversations, and we're kicking it off with Evan Thatcher, who's the interim CEO of LifeX. He's going to tell us the latest on LifeX and really how this place functions and how it's helping life sciences really rocket forward here in the Pittsburgh area. And like I said, these are important stories, Audrey. I cannot wait to get on with it. Simple as that. So, and Lindsay, thank you so much
thank
for
you
being
so
part
much.
Of this.
Thank yeah. you, Jonathan. Thank you, Audrey.
You guys are a tremendous resource out there for the tech world, and you need to know Huntington's out there to help you out. Simple as that. So anyhow, we're taking a quick break, and we are coming back with more Tech Vibe Radio on location at LifeX in Pittsburgh's historic Southside. I had to say it that way just for fun, right? Can I say it that way? No one's laughing.
Well, the rest of the world won't know what you mean.
They probably won't, but I did. So that's mm-hmm. so funny. Anyhow, this is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
We're from the Pittsburgh Technology Council, bringing you Tech Vibe Radio every single Friday night. Learn more about us at pghtech.org. Welcome back, everybody. Audrey, it is too much fun when we take the show on the road to LifeX on Pittsburgh's historic South Side with Huntington Bank. We get to have so much fun with Huntington.
This is great. It's great to be back in this space. I don't know if I can mention that.
You should.
This is great space. This is Maya Design's space after they left Sydney Street. And they were pioneers. Maya tends to be pioneers in lots of ways, not just space. So we're sitting here in Kiva, And the Kiva is a round room contained with all whiteboards, and it has capability to capture almost anything that you write on the walls. I don't know if they still have that system rigged up in here. No, you don't, according to our maestro, who we're going to talk to
exactly.
In a minute.
Who is that maestro, Audrey? Yeah.
He's going to say, nope, we don't have that. Yeah. But let me pass the baton. It's great to be here, and it's great to be here at LifeX to talk about what's happening.
We're glad to have you both here. Excited to talk about what we're doing.
Yeah. So, Evan Thatcher, you're a man with many hats, as we said before. You do so many things while being the interim CEO of LifeX here. Who is Evan Thatcher?
So I am, in my day job, I'm the Vice Chancellor for Innovation and Entrepreneurship at Pitt. I'm also the Director of the Innovation Institute. And starting about 3 months ago, I was asked to serve as an interim CEO for LifeX, given the connection between what LifeX is doing and what we're attempting to do at the university as
well. I mean, yeah, Pitt and life sciences are like, they just go hand in hand.
So let's dive in, right? So we're here at LifeX, so why don't we start with that and talk about what the vision of LifeX is.
So a lot of the reasons why LifeX was created was due to some of the output from the Brookings Report that basically said we are punching above our weight as it relates to new ideas in the life sciences coming from the region. So if you just look in that 1.7 square mile region of Oakland that contains Pitt and CMU and UPMC, it's over 30% of the total university R&D for the entire state of Pennsylvania is in that little tiny area. And because of that, and because of the health system, and because of the way Pitt has from a National Institutes of Health funding perspective, there are so many life sciences ideas that are being generated in that little footprint. And the challenge has always been taking those ideas and then making sustainable companies of them and keeping them in the region. So the goal was, how do you take those ideas and make sure they go through the university systems, but they stay here? And one of the missing elements was, once they get out of the university's hands, we give them a pat on the back and a congratulations and a good luck. And
good luck. Tell us how that works out.
There's no safety net for them. And while they're inside the university systems, they have years of safety nets and they have years of working with us. And then they get the door and we say, see you later. And they say, well, what do we do next? Life sciences is very complicated. And they didn't have that amount of help.
It is. And talk about that a little bit. Because, you know, people think, this is what commercialization looks like, or there are people who are listening and have no clue.
Sure. So the average time to take a therapeutic from idea to the market is probably over a decade and probably costs near $1 billion. And that's because life sciences projects are so complicated, because we have an idea that's going to eventually get into somebody's body. And we have no idea how it's going to work or how it's going to react. Using animal studies are useful, but until it's in humans, we really don't know what the impact is going to be on humans. So in order to make sure that there's safety and then there's some kind of efficacy, we have to test large numbers of humans. And that takes a lot of time, it takes a lot of money, and it takes a lot of specific capability related to clinical trial design, regulatory, reimbursement, things that aren't as straightforward as programming something in a computer code or making some kind of piece of hardware. You have all these additional regulatory burdens you have to deal with.
It's people's lives, after all, which is obviously all the testing, and which is the horizons take so long for that. Which is why I think it's amazing that we have these resources here in Pittsburgh, because you said having all of this capability, and now to really be able to focus that and help these companies stay on that path. It's amazing.
Yep. And the idea is, how do we give them that help that they need over the longer period of time?
So what happens in the safety net?
So inside of the safety net, there are, it's the creation of an ecosystem. So there's this convening effect where we're trying to get more and more of these companies to be either physically here, they can rent office space, more like a co-working space, or we have events, we bring outside speakers, we have office hours, we have these Tuesday bio breakfasts. So we want this to be a place where people that are in that space can come. If they're portfolio companies, they get additional help from entrepreneurs and residents. They can get access to other services that are provided here that just someone off the street may not get. But it's very analogous to what we're doing on a campus perspective, where you get access to an individual that can help continue to hold your hand. You can get additional education and additional training. But here it's really specifically focused on the life sciences needs, or the life sciences education.
And so for our listeners, define life sciences. Mm-hmm.
So for us, life sciences is really any technology that is going to provide a healthcare benefit to an individual. So it could be a drug, it could be a medical device, it could be a piece of software that's used in the hospital system. So it's anything really that is going to help a human live a better life in one form or another. So it is, it's actually fairly broad.
It is pretty broad. Mm. And are there examples of this other places in the country?
Yes. So a lot of the more successful regions that do life sciences that we know of, the Bostons and the San Franciscos, and the Research Triangle Parks and the DCs, they have these other organizations that are not within side of the university that provide this kind of help and this kind of service and really try to take these ideas from where they're created locally and have them stay locally and grow up and be successful.
And having the university behind that, I think is just absolutely amazing. And to have this resource here is just so great. You talked before about the community, which I think is so important because the men and women that are building these companies, I mean, it's like trench warfare.
Yes.
I mean, it is, you said, a decade for someone to build a company and the tenuous path that must be on. And to have other people who've been there, done that. I know some of the folks we're going to have on today, you know, they've been down that road. So to have those people all stopping by, being in the same building from time to time must be huge.
Yes.
Kind of keeping the morale up and the hood ornament pointing forward, right?
It's, yeah, because we have this cross-section of individuals. We've got someone who you'll talk to who was an undergraduate. Their work in their undergraduate field at Pitt was something that they then created a company around. So this is someone who a few years ago was a senior in college, and now he's the CEO of a medical device company.
It's awesome.
All the way through folks that may have been repeat entrepreneurs, and they're doing it again, and they're here as well. So you get this. It couldn't really be a broader mix, but it allows all those individuals to see things from different perspectives.
Yeah.
So in your day job,
yes.
What's your day job?
So my day job at Pitt is really overseeing the commercialization infrastructure of the university. So all the intellectual property that's created on campus, all of these ideas that will eventually emanate here, taking those technologies, assessing which ones we want to move forward with, which ones are going to become new companies. We'll license a large number to existing big companies. So it's taking that nearly $1 billion of R&D that's happening on Pitt's campus.
This is like number three, isn't it?
From a National Institutes of Health perspective.
Right.
That's just
here in Pittsburgh, in Oakland, which is just so amazing.
Sitting right next to one of the largest healthcare systems in the U.S. That's why
exactly.
Kind of this LifeX idea
right.
has been a long time coming. We have one of the top healthcare systems and one of the top research institutes, and a lot of those ideas don't stay here. They go elsewhere. We want
exactly.
to keep them all local.
Keep them all here, and that's what you guys are doing. Amazing stuff. First off, we're so glad you're doing what you're doing.
What do you do for fun? This is fun. Look at this. We have the opportunity to really change the region and the innovation economy. And
exactly.
We think that we have such a upside opportunity that we're starting to take advantage of that this is fun. This is exciting.
Love it.
Super, this is great. Any other interesting things going on at the university that you want to share?
Lots of interesting things. Yesterday we had reveal day. We officially announced the return of the retro colors for Pitt on a permanent basis.
Very cool.
What are the retro colors?
It's more of the yellow and the blues versus kind of the gold and the darker blue. So all the older colors are coming back. Big party on Bigelow yesterday. Unveiled the new Nike store that we have on campus.
Oh, right.
Love it.
That's exciting.
Did you bear gifts?
There are lots of things going on.
Yes. Very cool. Hey, we got to take a break. We're coming back with more Tech Vibe Radio from LifeX here in the Southside, brought to you by Huntington Bank. They make the Tech Vibe Radio Neighborhood Tour TNT happen. So glad to have those partners. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
Learn more about the Pittsburgh Technology Council by going to pghtech.org. Being on the South Side, here at LifeX.
I know, this is my home.
It's
this
way
is so crazy.
Too much fun.
This was our space. I love it.
Back in the day, Maya was out of this space, and now you're back here in the Kiva, and we are talking to some of the coolest companies in Pittsburgh. Some companies I've never even heard of until today. One such company started by Anne Germain, Noctum. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the show, Anne. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Well, thank you for inviting. It's a pleasure.
Yeah. But first off, who is Anne Germain? What is your background?
I am actually on leave from the University of Pittsburgh, where I was a tenured professor of psychiatry for a long time. And I have been training in sleep research and clinical sleep research, behavioral sleep medicine for almost 25 years
really?
Now.
Really?
Wow.
Whoa.
And so sleep is my home.
That's your thing, right?
It's my
wow.
thing.
It's my thing, too.
I wish it were my thing.
We all need. Not necessarily more, but the good kind of
the
sleep.
The good kind
the
of sleep.
The restorative, yeah. sufficient, a sufficient amount restorative in a predictable way. That's
absolutely.
What defines good
yeah.
sleep.
You flunk.
Oh,
Jonathan
the
flunks.
There's always ways to catch up or to recover from that. But at Pitt, I was my research program there focused on two different things. One, understanding what goes wrong in the brain when sleep problems happen, understanding the brain mechanisms that contribute to sleep disorders, and how do we treat sleep disorders, developing, testing, refining treatments, making treatments that work more acceptable for patients and for clinicians because they're not necessarily easy to do. So a lot of the work that I was doing there with amazing teams at the University of Pittsburgh led us to collaborations with colleagues at Pitt who developed digital technologies to try to augment the scalability of any kind of medical treatment. And when I met them and I was talking about the kind of sleep treatments and work that we were doing in the sleep space, we decided to join forces and developed a digital health platform that allows us to basically multiply people like me.
Multiply people like
you. So that people, there's tremendous demand for sleep treatments are like at least right. 80 million
it's
gotta Americans.
It's got to be massive, I believe it.
Wow.
I don't know.
80 million Americans suffer from insomnia.
And I think you're the first mm-hmm. person I met where you said, I get a good night's sleep. I've never heard anyone ever say it.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Nobody. Just saying.
So there's some like good sleep practices that okay. improve sleep quality. I can tell you.
Yeah, can you tell us some? Give us some helpful.
So, well, the basic principle is really, you know, sleep is by the brain for the brain, but it's also very responsive to our environment and our behaviors. It's actually trained by our daytime behaviors. So if you sleep at the right time and you sleep at the right amount, and you're very regular about your sleep. Think of it almost like your diet, right? If you
exactly.
are very mindful of what you eat, when you eat it, what you eat, and then sometimes you have some excesses, and then you go back to your healthy routine. It's the same thing with sleep, that if you have a routine of sleep and it's very consistent, you get up at the same time every day of the week, and yes, sometimes we don't sleep as much because there are special events, or we catch up a little bit, or we sleep longer because it's a rainy day and you don't feel like getting up. That's all good and fine once in a while, but typically a regular sleep schedule, getting up at the same time every day, exposure to bright light, and it doesn't need to be a very sunny day, just being outside early
exactly.
during the day,
right.
Having a lot of activity or being more active during the daytime hours and then quieting down, relaxing more in the evening hours, keeping the stressful thinking activities to the daytime where our brains are more efficient at thinking and analyzing. Worrying at night, never a good time because, you know, our brains are tired. They're not as efficient at thinking.
I think the night is the best time to worry. As you can think about the next day, what might be in front of you.
It may be a good time, yeah, but then it's going to compete against sleeping.
Exactly.
So at that time, it's what is it? And you're right, actually. You know, the brain is designed to think, to analyze. So if at night or in the middle of the night, your brain has to make this decision between thinking and worrying, and not efficiently, so you get
what
stuck
if
in those.
I think about worrying?
See, that is too the same thing as going to be too activating and
exactly.
not consistent with.
He's one of those people that need your help.
I do. I need the Noctum app. So tell me, how does Noctum work then? How does it help me mm-hmm. get a better night's sleep?
So it's there's an app. You mentioned
yes.
an app. So the people we work with receive an app that is only activated if there's somebody at the end of the line like me that gives you an activation code.
Okay, so you have to work with somebody in the field then, right?
There's somebody in the field. You'll have your own sleep coach. It's real person at the end of the line. And that person will be able to basically monitor in real time how your sleep is doing, how you're doing, how your sleep profile looks like. And we have algorithms that we've developed that help us identify very quickly what kind of sleep problem you have, and most importantly, what kind of behavioral recommendations should be offered.
So, Anne, I just find this so interesting that you don't have to necessarily go to a sleep lab in order to have your sleep analyzed. That's just so exciting.
It is for a lot of people. Yes. Yeah. For some sleep disorders, you do have to go to a sleep lab.
Right.
But for a lot of them, either it can be assessed at home, or the information that would be provided to the sleep clinician that you're meeting with is sufficient to make a diagnosis and have a really good estimation of what kind of sleep problem and what kind, most importantly, what kind of treatment should be recommended.
I love it. I love it.
And so what are some of the most prevailing diagnoses?
The two most prevalent sleep disorders are sleep apnea, when you stop breathing at night while you're sleeping. The other one is insomnia. Now, for sleep apnea, there are mechanical and surgical or dental even treatments that are available, and they're easy to get to. That's great. For insomnia, we also have very effective treatments. The first-line treatments that are recommended are actually not medication treatment, and though there are some medications that are effective for insomnia, but the preferred treatments for insomnia are actually behavioral changes, getting your sleep health back on track, basically, with behavioral modifications.
Getting your schedule set.
Exactly.
Relaxing.
And like adapting it out before you go to bed.
For most people, that could be disruptive. Some people can do it. It varies with age, too. But we really try to recommend, like generally speaking, having activities during the day and at night closer to bedtime to set the tone basically for your brain to be able to relax and eventually
relax a little,
fall asleep. Exactly.
To me, insomnia is scarier than sleep apnea.
It's the opposite in a way. And where sleep apnea, people don't necessarily sleep very well, but they're sleepy all the time and they can fall asleep very easy because their nighttime is so disrupted.
Right.
With insomnia, people want to sleep. They have enough time to sleep, dedicated to sleep, but they're unable to fall asleep or to stay asleep. And then they start worrying about sleep. They experience the consequences during the day. They're tired. Their mood, their concentration is affected.
Snowballs on itself a little bit.
Exactly. Yes. And then people start spending a lot of time paying attention at their sleep, trying different things. They're very motivated to treat and their insomnia, except that there aren't that many gadgets out there that are effective for it. You can see a number of apps and different widgets that are available for sleep.
Like meditation and white noise.
For some people, that can be effective. But the first-line treatments that we have, they're really hard to get to because there are not enough doctors or clinicians that are trained in providing these treatments. And they're typically offered in those traditional brick-and-mortar sleep clinic where you do get the best quality of treatment that you can get if you can get there, if it's available in your area, and after oftentimes having a long waiting list period. So
Anna, tell us a little bit about working at LifeX here, being part of LifeX with Noctum, having Noctum go through the be part of LifeX. What's that been like for you? I mean, obviously putting you in a community of people, plugging you into resources, what's that been like?
Tremendously beneficial at many levels. So I'm an academic, I'm a researcher, I'm a clinical researcher by training. I know a lot about sleep, about doing research and treatments. When it comes to commercializing the ideas that come out of the research saying, well, we have all of these great findings that are very promising, let's take them out in the real world and see if we can make a difference.
Gotcha.
That's really taking the commercialization channel, and this is outside of my typical comfort zone.
So you got these people plugged in with you to help move that forward.
Exactly,
oh,
and this
love
is
it.
Why like landing at LifeX has been tremendously beneficial in multiple ways, because I am surrounded by mentors, by people who have this expertise, have this experience. Mm-hmm. And the teaming of, we have the content, we know what we're doing, where we're coming from in terms of the technology, the content, sleep. But when it comes to business development, growth, thinking, there are some similarities with academic research,
but not the same
many, many areas
different.
That are completely different and completely new to me. So my learning curve has been very steep. And at the same time, I have the guidance of what I should learn at what time versus what can wait, or what's relevant for our type of company versus other types of commercialization efforts.
Well, there is a combination of an artisticness to business as well that's not necessarily all just hypothesis testing.
Exactly.
And that's a shift for many people like yourself.
It is, and the kind of the approach in research is very... prescribed, right? There's a certain method.
Right.
In business, you're right, it's a bit more creative. There's still some paths established,
right.
But within these paths, you can be very creative and not necessarily bound to one path. You can jump from one to another depending on the situation. Right. Or that's what I've learned so far. I'm still very new in the process.
And sometimes if you're 60% there, you can launch.
Yes.
Which is very different for people who have worked in science.
Yeah.
Yes. And we're very fortunate to be in this position with Noctem, where because of the relationships that we've established over time, because of some prior work that we've done in research and with our collaborators outside of research, that we're actually positioned to start basically having people using and testing our solutions outside of our hands. And hopefully really make the difference that we're looking to make.
Super cool
so
stuff.
So how can we find out about Noctem? So is there an app now? Is there anything I can download?
So the app is not going to be activated unless you're already part of our program or part of one of our partners who uses
it. I just want to learn more about it and see if I can get part of that. Where can I go for that?
You can go to our website at www.noctemhealth.com, and that's NOCTEM health.com.
Just that simple. And Jermaine, thanks for stopping out and
hanging
with us here at LifeX.
Thank you.
Having a great time here with Huntington Bank and our Tech Vibe neighborhood tour at LifeX, hanging out with great men and women just like Anne here. Great stories happening here in Pittsburgh, only in Pittsburgh. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
We're from the Pittsburgh Technology Council, having way too much fun doing the show every Friday night. Learn more about us at pghtech.org. Audrey, another Tech Vibe Radio neighborhood tour with Huntington Bank, almost under our belt. It's like a time machine when we're in the old Maya Kiva.
No, at LifeX. I love being here.
It's kind of crazy.
I helped build this room.
That's a beautiful room.
Yeah. Isn't it cool? It's like round. I want this for like my full-time studio.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, this is great. It's got a nice little view of what my wife calls Stars Hollow right out there. That little square in front of it's a Gilmore Girls reference. I don't know.
Right.
I see. Super cool. Hey, we are talking to Lucas Stuber from Toby Dynavox. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
And you guys are right here on the old South Side.
We are. We're just like 8 blocks away. This was a quick, easy walk.
I was going to say, you walked over here, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because you won't make much on mileage traveling over here.
No, I don't think I can build that much.
Exactly. So what's your background? You said you just started with Toby.
I'm a speech-language pathologist by trade. I got my master's in applied linguistics and then went back to become a speech pathologist. It was one of those...
You like being on the radio.
I do like being yeah.
I know. You're so articulate.
We're language-oriented people, for sure. So, and I've done a podcast before about our discipline, so
that's
actually
great.
Feels familiar at the moment, although I have to say much fancier. But
we always try to class it up here on Tech Vibe Radio. What can I say?
I feel great tech. But so that's been kind of my background. I actually worked as a clinician in the schools and in private practice, working with mostly children who were nonverbal, either on the autism spectrum or because of another disorder, like cerebral palsy or whatever that might be, specializing in what we call augmentative and alternative communication, which is a very wordy term that I think we need to revise. But basically, it refers to what everyone thinks of Stephen Hawking using, right? So it's like a voice output device for someone who otherwise can't speak.
Right.
So funnily enough, the largest company in the world that makes those happens to be right off Carson Street in the South Side. In Pittsburgh.
And that's why Pittsburgh is so cool.
Exactly.
We have companies like yours here. Yeah, very cool. And your technology is just so powerful because you're literally giving people a voice. I mean, that's so cool.
It's a really, it's a fascinating, fascinating company, I mean, or industry even generally. What's amazing about it is that we take sort of all of the, you know, the complexity of modern software development and then combine that with modern hardware development. We're also making eye tracking equipment for people that are completely paralyzed. To interact with computers and those sorts of things. And then we layer all that on top of the complexity of language and trying to, you know, encapsulate and teach kids how to speak and those things. So it's not an easy job, but it's a highly fulfilling one, definitely.
And so describe the population of people that you're really reaching and touching and augmenting their lives.
Sure, absolutely. So there's a number of populations, right? I mean, the sort of traditional one, speaking from like the eye gaze access perspective, would be like ALS, for example, with Garrick's disease, maybe older adults with spinal cord injuries, those sorts of things, folks that just need another way to speak other than using their mouth or hands, right? But increasingly now, it's also becoming children with autism spectrum disorder, right? That's probably the biggest rising population for us. cerebral palsy, Rett syndrome, a whole variety of things for the pediatric.
How large is the population of people who have communicative disorders?
It's pretty enormous. I mean, we sort of estimate that in the United States alone, there's well over 1 million people that actually could benefit in some way from our technology. Mm-hmm. Whether it's augmentative, which would be implying that it sort of is assisting them just a little bit, or completely alternative, you know, something that's completely the replacement. So. There's a ton of folks out there that could benefit from this that don't even know that it exists.
Right.
So that's one of the reasons why we like to do a show like
this. That's why we're glad to have you here, because people know that you can solve their problem for them.
Yeah.
And so many people who are school aged have an individual education program.
Yes.
Known as IEP.
Yep.
Sorry, could you be written into those IEPs?
Absolutely, 100%. So that's typically the way that a lot of school-age children get access to our equipment, either an IEP or an IFSP in preschool, right? So that's where a lot of folks will encounter our technology for the first time. The flip side being, of course, that sort of requires a school team that's trained and knowledgeable and kind of knows what to recommend
that
and those sorts of things, right? So that's a big part of what we do also, is not just build the stuff, but then also go out and educate people about it. But you're absolutely right. Wow, you know what an IEP is. That was great.
Oh, I know.
Audrey's got deep knowledge, man. Very deep knowledge.
So in that world, there's also people beyond the age of 22 when they're no longer eligible for the IEP. But what's fascinating to me is I've sort of watched Toby Dynavox over the time, and now Toby Dynavox. You spent a lot of time in the hardware for a while in the journey. Where are you now in terms of deployment? And the tools that you use.
That's a really interesting question. I mean, obviously, that's one interesting thing about this industry is that we're sort of keeping up with the Apples of the world that are making these tablets and everything, and we have to sort of keep pace while still doing
something
else.
Obviously, iPad's creating so many solutions for people.
Right.
How do you plug in with all that?
Well, so we do a combination of things. So, you know, so Dynavox, which was founded here in Pittsburgh in 1983.
When the Tech Council started.
Oh, no kidding.
Same year. Then the founders were involved in the tech.
Great, which would have been, at that time, called Sentient Systems, but
exactly.
That's great that they were involved. Mm-hmm.
Well, they helped launch.
Oh, did they? Look at this. This is like the...
It's like a little reunion
going
on here. This is great.
That's what happens in the Kiva life.
The Kiva, that's what I'm
just saying.
So founded in 1983. I mean, the focus there sort of historically was on the touch market, right? So like devices that were activated by actually pressing the screen.
Right.
In 2001, separately, Toby was founded in Stockholm, Sweden, which was focused on the eye tracking side of things. So in 2014, when they came together, it sort of merged the two different entities into like this super beast that one really specialized in the software side of things and one really specialized in the hardware, you know, this eye tracking, you know, which is a complicated thing.
And you came together as two companies, but Pittsburgh is still a major portion of what you guys do here, right?
Oh, yeah. Yep. We have about 470 employees and about a little shy of 300 of them are right here in Pittsburgh.
Wow, so, that's amazing.
You know, we have offices also in Norway and Sweden, but, you know, we're largely right here. So,
do you get to go to Norway that often?
That's funny. We were just talking about this in the lobby. I wish I could go more often during the summer. It's the winter trips that are...
Not so much fun, right?
That's when you get the good prices for airfare.
But right now, our focus, I mean, is sort of twofold. So, you know, we mentioned the different populations. We obviously still make these big purpose-built eye-tracking devices that usually are funded through insurance because they are, you know, it's expensive technology. We'd like to bring that all down, but you know, often it's insurance that funds that. But then for this whole other population, like autism spectrum disorder, we increasingly make like apps for iPad and things like that, so they don't need to go the big expensive
route. Okay, so you have something that will actually run on an iPad.
Exactly.
So cool.
So do you see any of the eye tracking technology be embedded in some of the new tools and the new platforms?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're certainly within us, I mean, we're always sort of iterating on our hardware, trying to improve the eye tracking and those things. Separately, you know, that the eye tracking stuff is also being used in all kinds of other fields, like gaming, market research, even medical research, things like that.
I remember that.
So, I mean, it's going to be fascinating to watch over the next few years, especially in terms of like virtual reality and augmented reality.
Right. And so the other thing that's pretty amazing is the number of people that have been diagnosed on the spectrum for autism. And that's believed to be a communicative disorder by many.
Primarily, that's typically the way that it's identified in schools, is as a communication disorder. Obviously, it is a very wide spectrum, right? And the phrase spectrum also sort of implies like a line from low to high, and
it's
I hate that. It's really more of like a color wheel, right?
I mean,
makes sense.
In the same sense as I'm maybe very high at, I don't know, answering questions on the radio, I hope, but very low at cooking or whatever, you know? I mean, we all have our peaks and valleys. There has been definitely an increased identification of autism. I don't think it's clear whether there's been an increased incidence of autism, right? So we're definitely finding these kids a lot more.
Yeah.
But it's unclear whether it's actually rising due to any particular factor. So.
And so what would surprise us about Toby over the next, when you think about the next year ahead?
Wow, that's a great question. I mean, there's a whole bunch of stuff that's coming up that's going to be really great. I can't talk about most of it. They'll jump through the walls and take me down or something, you know, these different things. But
we don't want that happening to
you.
Give us a taste, though.
We can imagine.
Well, we're always looking to iterate on what we offer for folks. So we're looking at all kinds of new different access methods. I mean, we think about iGaze as being, you know, one way for people that are completely locked in to communicate. But there's also all kinds of interesting developments in terms of brain-computer interfaces and different things that that can be done. And, you know, again, we're in such a neat hub here in Pittsburgh in terms of the tech sector. The only thing I would ask to anyone listening who's in the tech sector is stop hiring all my developers. I need like three right now.
I know.
Three of them.
Anyone's listening and is inspired by this, get hold of us.
Well, tell us actually a little bit about...
Well, but the more people know about the work that you're doing.
Right,
exactly.
And what kind of impact they can have to help change people's lives.
Perfect. It's an amazing job. Can't tell you.
I was going to say, I mean, obviously, it's life-changing work at that point. You're not just being a developer. You're being a developer to help people communicate.
It is.
And that is powerful stuff.
Yep. And our you know, every one of our software devs, our hardware devs, I mean, they're out in the field interacting with customers along with our clinical team all the time. So they get that really cool sort of experience of, you know, seeing, you know, this. We're not just updating the firmware on a smart fridge. You know, we're making an immediate impact on someone's
life. I mean, I can only imagine when you see, like, somebody who's not been able to effectively communicate, all of a sudden being able to express themselves.
Yep.
And it's because of the work that you're doing.
It's so life-changing.
It's very
life-changing. If you've ever been around anyone who's never been able to communicate by the time they're three or four, and then they have an opportunity to identify objects and put things together.
We had a mom recently that used to always sing in the car back and forth with her son that was on the spectrum, and finally got one of our devices and did some training, and a few weeks in, she's singing in the car, and one of the first things he said to her was, stop singing.
Oh, my goodness. Ah!
You know what? I love that story, because he got to control his environment. That's perfect.
Right.
That's
it.
And now she knows.
You know?
Yeah.
Think how many behavioral problems occur. Most problems occur.
Mm-hmm.
Because of lack of ability to articulate.
Right.
Yep.
So
if
people want to learn more about these jobs and all the awesome work that you're doing, what's the best place for people to go and learn more about Toby Dynavox?
Absolutely. So come track us down at TobyDynavox.com.
Okay.
I'm sure you can also, I imagine, go to your website and you'll find the information there. Search for us. I mean, we're all over the place. My name's Lucas Stuber. You're welcome to contact me directly or click on the About Us and get a hold of us any way you can.
That's great.
Fantastic.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thanks
really
for your time.
Appreciate
You're making
it.
Pittsburgh proud and the South Side super cool.
Awesome.
Yeah, simple as that. So glad to be on the South Side here at LifeX in the Kiva. Couldn't do it without Huntington Bank. They are our main sponsor when it comes to all things Tech Vibe Neighborhood Tour. It's been a long time, Audrey, since we have been out of the studio and in the environment. So it's been great hanging out here. Can't thank enough to be doing what we do here. So absolutely love it. Hey,
thank
we have
you.
Another TNT happening next week, Audrey, right back here again. So there's more of it coming. Just remind you to keep dialing in every single Friday to Tech Vibe Radio. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
Learn more about us at pghtech.org. And have an awesome weekend, everybody.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.